Good morning. Hey, we trust and pray everybody is doing well. The word of the Lord. If you look around, wave at somebody, give them a good smile. I know that, make sure the coffee's kicked in. If you're over in the sanctuary, look at somebody over there, give them a point and a wave and a welcoming smile. If you happen to be outside, take that opportunity as well to greet somebody in this attempting to recover from COVID at this particular point, the process. That's what we're calling it, at least for right now. But at any rate, we're glad you're here. Our online community, be sure to say hello to Dr. Gant or one another as you can see each other in those feeds. But as we come together today, we do so on this Memorial Day weekend, specifically to pay honor to those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you today, we do so, Lord, with grateful hearts. We do so thankful for the fact that today we can gather and we can worship you without fear from governmental influences and those who might otherwise choose to be tyrannical over us. Lord, we realize today that the freedoms that we enjoy and exercise on a daily basis have truly been purchased with a price. Lord, today we pray that as we gather around your word, that that we will glean from it what you would have for us to know. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst and would move around us in such a fashion and move in us in such a way that we will experience you, particularly before these moments are over, that we have this opportunity to gather. And Lord, may they not be a situation or just something that is for the moment. Lord, may our hearts, what our hearts are taught today, reflect every day what it is that you want us to know, what you want us to do, and how you want us to act. So, Father, we pray that today, as we take these moments and as we gather around you and your word, that you will speak to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we come together each year, we have this time, and I like to call it a time of memorial, a time of remembrance. The reason why is because we have been given so many privileges. We have been granted so many freedoms, not because it's anything that we earn, but yet because those who have served in our United States Armed Forces have been willing to stand in that gap. They have been willing to step up. They have been willing to give their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. I've said this very often, that I think one of the biggest reminders for me is having the opportunity to go on mission trips where the freedoms that we enjoy today are not seen on a daily basis. We sit back and we look at those situations, and I'll tell you, we're grateful to come back to the United States of America. We're grateful to be able to have these opportunities to gather in the name of our Lord without there being any persecution from the government or without somebody telling us we cannot do that. But folks, today is a reminder that cost came with a price. It wasn't something that was free. Before you today, you see what is called a soldier's cross. You've seen it probably many times, whether it's been on television, whether it's been here annually, as we have had and taken the opportunity to honor those that paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. But today, just as a way of explanation, I share with you a post that I saw by Doug Thiel that says, "The rifle is affixed with a bayonet and it's inverted, signifying that the soldier went down fighting. The boots signify the soldier's last march onto the battlefield. Dog tags are imprinted with the soldier's name and hung from the rifle so their identity will never be forgotten. The helmet is placed on atop the rifle, representing what the soldier stood for, signifying that their battle is now over. The battlefield cross is a sacred symbol among military members, Since a funeral was typically not possible during wartime, these symbols serve as a rallying point where surviving members of a unit can mourn and remember their fallen comrades. This Memorial Day, reach out to the veterans that you know and give them a simple message. We remember. We remember our country's fallen, your brothers and sisters, and we appreciate and honor their sacrifice. At this time, I would like to ask each and every one of us, if you are able, would you please stand with me at this time? As you stand, would you please do so in silence and reverence as our retired U.S. Navy Commander Tommy Morrow leads us in paying our respects to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces that gave their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy today. You may be seated. I know that for many of us, this is a day and this is a time and this is a moment that hits home. Many of the lives of those of you who are here, many of the lives of those who will be tuning in and watching this broadcast today have in some way been touched by the lives of those who have fallen for our freedoms. Yeah, I know that for me, it's a significant time. There are those that do not pay honor to that in our society today. I think it's unfortunate that we have become a nation that feels entitled to freedoms. But we must always remember that there were those who went before us that earned and purchased the rights that we have today, even when you don't like them. I know I've had opportunity to talk to many of those who have served, and there have been times when I have said, does it bother you to see, you know, folks who are anti-American, as it were? And most of them have said, well, you know, it does bother us some, but you know what? We fought for their right to be able to disagree with us as well. And that's what freedom is really all about. You know, the Bible even tells us that when it comes down to time of war, there are going to be casualties. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Yet there are some things that are worth fighting for. There are some things that are worth paying the ultimate price. I know that in some small way that you and I have throughout our lives experienced that in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, I've heard it said before that somebody might say, you can call me what you want, you can say what you want to about me, but if you start picking on my family, that's a different story. You're going to see the claws come out. You're going to see me, you're going to see a different side of me that you've never seen before. So don't push that button. Don't make the claws come out. Don't make me go into attack mode. Well, folks, there are those who stand there who take that oath to defend us against enemies at home and abroad, who are willing to stand in that gap. We think about over the years those who at even a young age never had the opportunity to be able to own a car or own a house or get married or have children because they were ensuring the freedoms that we enjoy, and they paid so with the ultimate price. When we get over into the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 20, we start to see a narrative as heading into a battle, as heading into a war. Look with me, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. It says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. As we think about that verse for just a moment, there's an encouraging word there. He says, you know, you're going to see in this particular battle that they were preparing for that they were going to be outnumbered. Yeah, you know, when you look at that, if you are part of a group, or if you are part of a group of soldiers that are getting ready to go in battle, obviously you don't want to see yourself outnumbered, and that begins to conjure up in your heart and mind when you see that you're outnumbered. It can create fear, it can create anxiety, it can create those tensions. But yet in Deuteronomy 1, there was a word of encouragement to the army that said this. It says, do not be afraid of them. When you see this, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. How encouraging are those words to you and I today? You know, often throughout the Bible, and particularly the New Testament, we are told that we are going to war. We are told that being a Christian is a battle. It says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against principalities, against the rulers of darkness. But folks, make no mistake that as a believer, you and I are going to battle. And often, we look outnumbered, don't we? When you look around the world today, when you look in your workplace, when you look in your schools, and when you look in your neighborhoods, does it look like we as Christians are winning the battle? It surely doesn't, does it? But let me give you a word of encouragement today. The same words that were given to those of Israel's army in the day, remember this, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And verse 2 goes on to say, so it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. That's the pep talk before the battle. The battle plan is there. It's like, yeah, I see what you're seeing. I see that there are more soldiers against us than we have to fight against them. I understand all that. But let me give you a word from the Lord today. Let me give you, as we have gathered here at Central Baptist Church today, let me give you a word of encouragement. Because remember, I said a moment ago, you and I are also in a battle. Ours is not against the flesh and blood, but against those principalities. But as we go into battle, when we leave, here is the pep talk. The priest was the one that gave him the pep talk then. Today, I get to be the one giving you the pep talk. And my message is the same as it was in Deuteronomy chapter 20. You are on the verge of battle with your enemies. I hope and pray that if you haven't already sensed or felt that gave you a wake-up call today. You are on the verge of a battle. If you're not already in the middle of it, If you haven't seen it, make no mistake, as a believer, you are on the verge of a battle. For some of us, that was a rude awakening. But here's what else the priest went on to say. He said this, "Do not let your heart faint." Now, what does that mean? How many times have we been in circumstances and situations, we have been attacked by the enemy, we have been attacked by Satan, and we have literally thought or heard old Satan whisper in our ears, "It's not worth it, just give up. It's not worth it, just walk away. It's not worth it, just quit." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the point where you're like, "What difference does it make? I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle. It seems like we are outnumbered." Folks, let me give you a word of encouragement from the Lord today. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. That's hard, isn't it? You know, I've often, you know, had opportunities to talk with those that have been in battle. I've had opportunities to talk with those who have been in the service, who have been under attack. And I've asked, you know, maybe I'm a little nosy for whatever the cause, but I've said, "Let me ask you this, were you afraid?" And I can still remember what more than one of them said. They look at me like, "What kind of question was that?" Yes, I was afraid. But I still remember what one added to it when he said this. He said, but courage is doing your job even in the midst of your fear. And therefore, they went forward. Therefore, they pushed on. Therefore, they moved on. You know, I've said this so many times that maybe it's a throwback for a lot of us. But wherever you are, if you spent any time whatsoever around church as a child, you remember the song, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As To." How many of y'all remember that? Yeah, yeah. Raise a hand online if you remember that, because we got to get everybody involved. Now, we remember that song. We would sing that in the Vacation Bible School opening assembly. Remember that one? But yet, have we forgotten that it is a battle? Have we forgotten that the enemies of darkness are against us? They're trying to trip us up. They're trying to make us fall. Have they made us afraid? And yet the Lord gives us today the same message that he gave Israel's army in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. And do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Now, that's easy. Those are easy words to say. I'm sure that there were probably those that were there that said, "Okay, well, thank you for those encouraging and kind words, Mr. Priest, but the problem is you're going to be going back to worship. I'm the one getting ready to go in battle. You don't understand what I am getting ready to go into and what I'm getting ready to take part in. You don't understand that." Those are easy words to say. What's your backup for it? Why is it that you can say this? "You're not in my circumstance. You're not in my situation." But the same answer comes forth for you and I today as it did in verse 4 of chapter 20. Notice what verse 4 said. Here's the why they shouldn't let their heart faint. The why they shouldn't be afraid. The why they should not tremble and be terrified at them. Verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against the enemy, to save you." Why? Because God will be with you. God will be the provider. There are times that we read in the Word of God where the Lord prompted a battle. Most of us are familiar with Gideon. If you remember, his army got cut down essentially to a handful of men. And the Lord said, "Now you can go to battle." The odds were insurmountable, and yet they came back. The Lord could make the enemies fall at our feet. He could clear the path. But if you remember, that's not what he did for Israel. If you remember that even when Israel got to the verge of the promised land, before they had to roam in the wilderness for 40 years, they had gotten to that point at Kadesh Barnea. They had looked out on the promised land. They sent 12 spies down there. And when the spies came back with the report was simply this: it is everything God said it was. If you remember, they even brought back the gigantic clusters of grapes that they were carrying on a pole. They said, listen, it is everything that God said it was, but there are giants in the land. You remember what it was that God told them? God said, you're going to have to go take the land. You are going to have to go to battle. But remember this, when you go to battle, I'm going with you. I am going to fight for you. Could God have simply made the enemies go away? Could God have simply just said to them, all of you all need to get out and force them out? Could they have simply just died in their sleep that night? Obviously, God could have done that, but no, there were many more lessons that needed to be learned and needed to be taught through those circumstances and situations. And folks, today is the same. It's the same for you and I. There are going to be spiritual conflicts in our lives, and we are going to have to go through them. Yes, God can make them go away. Yes, it is all right to ask God to make them go away. But it is also pointed to note that you and I also need to understand God may not make them go away. He may make us walk through them so that He can walk with us through them, so that He can teach us some things, and so that He might gain honor and glory through our circumstances and through our situations. Have we viewed it in that respect? Have we looked at it in that regard? You see, I know that there are going to be those that are listening to me this morning, wherever you may be, that in the center of your circumstances, your heart is fainting. You're afraid. You're terrified because of the enemy. You are terrified because of what is going on. I want to remind you today that the Lord your God is going with you. The Lord your God is going to fight for you against your enemies. And why? What does verse 4 say? To save you. That's what he wants. But he also went on to say this, that in war, there are casualties. When it comes down to war, that doesn't mean that everybody who goes out is going to come back home. Notice verse 5. It says, then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, what man is there who has built a house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. Take care of your business. Get your business in order. Because right there it says, you know what? You go out, you may not come back. Every United States soldier who has ever sworn to uphold and defend our Constitution, who has sworn to protect our nation, our country against enemies, foreign and domestic, has done so knowing that if a conflict comes up and if they go, they may never come home. But for them, it's a price that they're willing to pay. What's the price? The price is the freedoms that you and I enjoy. The price is being able to get in an automobile and drive from county to county and state to state without papers and checkpoints. It's being able to be free. It's being able to have free enterprise. It is being able to disagree with one another. It is being able to live in a free society. And folks, here's the bottom line. Some things are worth fighting for. When we think about it, many of us here today can understand. There are many in our presence who have served. You have served faithfully. You have served well. And you did so because the freedoms we enjoy were important enough that our children and our children's children and their children and on down the line of the generations, it was worth them being able to enjoy the freedoms that you and I enjoy. And for every U.S. soldier, some things are worth fighting for. And some things that are worth fighting for are also the same things that are worth dying for. Are we willing to do that for the cause of Christ
as a soldier of the cross, in the same manner that soldiers of our armed forces have done to ensure our freedoms. And I think too often we take those for granted. Today, I get to stand up here and preach to you the gospel message. I get to preach from the Word of God without fear of governmental interference. But I will tell you this, unless we are ready to defend that honor, that day may soon be coming. Is it worth dying for? If it's worth dying for, then it should be worth living for. The soldiers that we honor today are those that said our freedom is worth dying for and did so. For you and I, we look at it as a holiday weekend. I think I said to Commander Morrow right before we started, I said, you know, I don't like to look at this as a happy holiday. I don't. Because we need to look at it to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. We need to think about the families whose lives were forever changed because their sons and daughters and husbands and wives and children never got to come home, and every single day of their life, they relive that moment. For you and I pray that it's not simply once a year when we pause to give thanks. I pray that it is a continual effort. I pray that every time you see the uniform, I pray that every time you see the soldier, that what comes to your heart and mind are the freedoms that you live and experience every single day, and that you're thankful because of them. Today, I know Gold Star families. I hope and pray that you understand what a Gold Star family is. A Gold Star family are those who have lost loved ones in a conflict, who go through it every day of their life, who see, in many cases, an ungrateful nation for what their loved one gave their life for. How simple the words, "we remember." But not just coming from the lips, coming from the heart. Today, we pause to remember. Today, we pause to think of those who gave their lives. For me, this is an emotional time. And the term, "hope you have a happy holiday," doesn't really ring in my ears in a correct fashion. I know that in my life, and as I've shared with you before, I've been touched with my neighbor who gave his life, and they came in peace in Beirut, Lebanon, but my neighbor, who was a few years older than I was, who was killed in that bombing. I think of those who have gone out who didn't come back, and we see them. And the greatest thing that I want to say today to those who mourn the loss every day, we remember, and we are thankful, and we are grateful. Verse 6 says, "Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eat of it." You see, once again, there's the caveat, lest he die in battle. Folks, there are casualties when it comes to battle. Verse 7, "And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman who has not yet married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man marry her." You're seeing more of the caveats of "you may not come back." It must be kept in front of you. The cause must be important enough to fight for. It must be important enough to die for. Because make no mistake, when you go to battle, there will be some who will not come home. Verse 8 says, the officer shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. And so it shall be, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Verse 10, when you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim it an offer of peace to it. Say, hey, look, you know, we don't necessarily want to go to war. Let's try to get this thing worked out, but there are some things worth fighting for. Verse 11, and it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now, if the city will not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. Then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hand, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. There's a cost for being on the wrong side of the battle. There was a cost in the days of war of the Old Testament. There is a cost in our society today, and there is also a cost in the spiritual battle. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve Satan? And the bottom line is there is no ground in between. You are either serving God or you are not. You are either born again or you are not. You are either on your way to heaven or you are on your way to hell. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Because there is a day of reckoning that is coming. There is a day that the trumpet will sound and time will be no more. There is a day when a beating heart will stop. This past week, a friend of mine that I grew up with at age 52 died suddenly of a heart attack. Was he prepared? I believe he was. Are you prepared to step out of the battle here into the glory of God Almighty? Verse 13, and when the Lord your God delivers it into your hand, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that is in the city, all its spoil, you shall plunder for yourselves, and you shall eat the enemy's plunder which the Lord your God gives you. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. Verse 16, but of the cities of these people which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, just as the Lord your God commanded you. Lest, here's the reason why, verse 18, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods with a little g, and you sin against the Lord your God. You know what he said? Nope. Nope, you're supposed to wipe them out so that they don't become a negative influence against you. And folks, today in our society, we have such an ungodly negative influence that is being perpetrated in so many places. It is everywhere you look. It is in societies. It is in your workplace. It is in your schools. That are things that are completely counterintuitive to what the Word of God says. Most of us sit back and go, now I'm just going to ask you this, and I said this even in the last couple of days. How many of you never, ever, ever thought that you would live to see the day when some of the things that are accepted in our society today are now not only accepted but promoted. How many of you never thought you'd live to see the day? Boy, my hand's up. I'll put both of them up. Wow. And have you noticed there are things that God pointedly says, thou shalt not. It's not a gray area. Many of them are black and white. But folks, some things need to be worth fighting for. Some things need to have a stance taken on them. Like I say, I see that in other places. I see where there is a cost to be paid when you stand up for what is right. Even this past week, I've seen something outside of the United States where I have seen God's people stand up to take a stance when they're outnumbered, when it's against public policy of the place of where they are. But yet the Word of God says this is what they shall do. And they have stood with courage. They have made statements with courage. They have made the statements that could cause them to be imprisoned. They have made statements that can cause them to be separated from family. They have made statements that can cause them to lose their life that have been in accordance with the Word of God. Some things are worth dying for. And because of that, those things should be worth living for. Today, we would not have these opportunities without the freedoms that we enjoy. I don't like to call this a holiday weekend. Don't get me wrong, I am not against families getting together. I'm not against you taking the opportunity to spend some quality time with one another. That's a good thing. I know that for many folks, those opportunities are far and between. But here's what I want you to do. I've stressed this. Don't forget why we have Memorial Day. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. Teach the generations to come what this day is all about. Teach them what the soldier's cross is. Teach them why we have memorials and places. Take a field trip. After or before you cook the hamburgers and hot dogs, go by a memorial and pay tribute. Take your children and grandchildren and tell them why you've shown up at that place and what this means. Not just the fact that somebody gave their life, but that somebody gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy. Because, folks, if we keep taking them for granted, we could very easily lose them. I don't know about you, but I believe that the United States is worth fighting for. I believe our freedoms are worth fighting for. I believe our religious freedoms are worth fighting for. And if they're worth fighting for, then they're worth dying for. Sometimes I don't understand how Gold Star families put up with much of what they see on television and in their communities and neighborhoods that's propagated in our society today. To think and to hear the words, my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter gave their life so that you could do things like burn the flag, curse the Constitution. I believe if I was in that position, I would become a little indignant. But I become a little indignant for them. The reason why is because I appreciate our freedoms. I appreciate being able to stand up here. And I've been in that position before. I've stood in the position where it's been, oh, by the way, Pastor Roy, if we get caught with you preaching this message, you could go to jail. You could go to prison. And as the old boy says, Dorothy, we ain't in Kansas no more. I've been there. I've stood in that position. I've known what it's like to be there. You know what? I'm not afraid of that today because I live in America because of these men and women who have purchased that right for me to stand up and do that. And oh yes, they purchased the rights even for those who stand up against them. Freedom is worth dying for, so it should be worth living for. I saw this from an author unknown, but I thought how pointed and how it speaks or should speak to us as we look at Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow, Monday, will be the most expensive holiday on the calendar. Every hot dog, every burger, every spin around the lake or drink with a friend and family is a debt purchased by others. This is not about all who have served. That day comes in the fall. This one is in honor of those who have paid in life and blood, whose moms never saw them again, whose dads wept in private, whose wives raised kids alone, and whose kids only remember them from pictures. This isn't simply a day off. This is a day to remember that others paid for every free breath you ever get to take. And it is called freedom. The taste of freedom. The author unknown, yet so pointed. Something worth dying for should also be something worth living for. We have looked at what the Lord says in regard to battle. He says, yep, there's going to be a battle, and not everybody's going to come home. There's going to be casualties of war. There's going to be casualties in war as we know it, and there will be casualties in the spiritual battle in which we fight. The question is, have you been so afraid and so timid that you won't even fight the battle? It's time to get in the fight. I haven't served as a soldier before, but I have served in that area of law enforcement. And there were some battles there too. There were some fights that went down. And when it did, it was all hands on deck. It was worth law and order, the fight was. It was worth protecting your fellow officers. And you did one of two things. You either got in the fight or you got out. And I don't mean out of that fight, I mean out permanently. Because your brothers count on you. They're willing to die for you. You're willing to die for them. Get in the fight or get out. The same holds true spiritually. Get in the fight or get out. It's time to stop being posers. It's time to think about all those. I think about our church. I think about what we get to experience because of the faithfulness and the battles that those who've gone before us fought. My question is, are you ready? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Has there been that time when you've confessed your sin before Him and said, Lord, I need a Savior, and You are it. Lord, save me. And He will. For those who knew and trusted the Lord, who gave their life in battle, they are enjoying the ultimate freedoms in Jesus Christ, in the presence of God the Father. Have you made that decision today? Listen, if you haven't, then you can simply just say, Lord Jesus, I understand. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if you did that, then I can promise you that if you meant it with your heart, then Jesus came into your heart. You're one of his children. What a blessed joy. Maybe today we've just been on the outskirts of this roller coaster of emotion that we've had, and we're just simply hanging on. The Lord says, get in the fight. People are counting on you. Get in the fight. The next generation is counting on you. Get in the fight. Today, I pray that we will remember those who got in the fight to preserve our freedoms. In just a moment, we're going to have our invitation. I've said this so many times, it's not my invitation, it is the invitation of our Father. What is it that he has put in your heart today? In just a moment, we're going to ask our brass to play for our invitation. I'm going to stand down front. I will stand by the soldier's cross. And then I'm going to ask you, are you a dedicated soldier of the cross? Whatever decision needs to be made, maybe you need to come back into fellowship with the Master today. Maybe you've been walking away from him. Maybe today you just want to profess to everyone, I have trusted Christ and he is my Savior. Maybe you need to follow in believer's baptism. Yeah, that's the first act of obedience following salvation. Have you done that? Listen, this is not my words, they're his. Maybe the Lord has caused you to be a part of Central Baptist Church where you can serve and where you can work and where you can sign up with a unit that is going to fight the good fight. This is where you can take care of all that. I'll be down front. Jim, if you would, lead our invitation time. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, you do business with God. If you need me, I'll be up front. Very special thank you to retired Commander Tommy Morrow, United States Navy. Also thanks to, I'm going to call him retired, Sergeant Gross, who took care of the Soldier's Cross in our sanctuary. And as I close, I just also want to mention that this flag is also a very special flag to me. That flag was flown by a dear friend of mine, a retired Marine gunnery sergeant, but it was flown on his 7 tours, every place that he had been, including Afghanistan, Fallujah, for 7 different tours. So that one will always be special to me, and I want us to always remember those. Folks, don't forget. It's all right, have your picnics, spend the time with family, but please remember those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy. Tell your kids, tell your grandkids, I don't want to see us become an ungrateful nation. Real quick, just a couple of things. This coming week, birthdays. Sherry Boston's got a birthday on Monday, Terry Ratcliffe on Wednesday, and Beulah Yost on Thursday. If you see these folks, wish them a very, very happy birthday. And this coming Wednesday, our very own Dr. Gant and his wife Ashley will celebrate an anniversary. So, all of them, I believe, will accept cash, checks, and gift cards or whatever you might come about. Folks, listen, I love you. I want to thank you so much. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for the opportunity today, not only today, but always, to remember that we are a free nation, but it came with a price. We are also enjoying the benefits of freedom in Christ, but that also came with a price, his death, burial, and resurrection at Calvary's cross. So let's stand together. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Know we love you. I pray that you have a safe holiday weekend. And remember, be sure to let those know that you remember the sacrifices of those who did not come back, as well as a thanks for their service as you have opportunity to see them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful. Lord, we enjoy the spoils of so many things. Lord, we enjoy the spoils of freedoms in our country, and we're thankful. Lord, help us to not be an ungrateful nation. Lord, thank you for the spoils that we enjoy as your children, the spiritual side of the life that we live. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've carried us through. And Lord, there are going to be times when you're going to call us to go to battle. Help us, Father, to understand that the things worth living for truly are the things worth dying for. And may we be willing to follow you into battle, even if it means that we pay the ultimate sacrifice. Help us, Father. Give us a great week. Reside in our hearts and our minds, that we will be forever changed because we've been around your word today. Lord, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you on air Wednesday.